This is VSiN Prime, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, I wish I could say it's a football Friday night, but no, it's Thursday night, and we've got one game on the card to talk about. Will Hill, Matt Youmans here on VSiN Primetime, but we do have a great guest list lined up for this show. Will, welcome in tonight. What's on your mind?
Matt Youmans, what's going on? Four-hour show, should be a lot of fun. Great job last night, you and Tim Murray. I thought did an outstanding job on the draft coverage. It certainly beat, I know you didn't see it because you were working, it certainly beat whatever we had to watch on ESPN or ABC, but I enjoyed that. We can recap some draft, talk some baseball, talk whatever you'd like for the next 4 hours.
Well, we're going to talk some NBA draft tonight because we do have round two. And so we do have that going for us, which is nice. Second round of the NBA draft is now, it's now been split into 2 days. So we welcome that tonight. I'll go ahead and tell you the lineup for the show so you stay tuned in because we do have a great lineup of guests tonight. A half hour from now, two slap fighters, the Hawaiian Hitman and Wolverine will be in studio, and Will Hill is going to challenge them to a fight. Stay tuned for that. That's a half hour away. Aaron Moore, the professor, later this hour to talk about round two of the NBA draft and more. Hour number two, how about Ian Cameron, the Canadian kid? CFL week four is on tap, and it kicks off tonight. He's got best bets in the CFL for you. Third hour tonight, Chris Jimenez, former MLB catcher, live from Reno to talk plenty of baseball. Chris Powers of Golf Digest in the final hour as we get caught up on the Rocket Classic in Detroit. Look ahead to the British Open. And Greg Hoops Peterson on baseball and the NBA draft in the final hour. So there you go. We've got seven great guests on the show over the next 4 hours. And Will Hill is a co-host. Will, quickly here, your takeaways, major takeaways from the first round of the NBA draft last night, other than the ESPN ABC coverage being an abomination.
Oof. Yeah, abomination would be kind. I almost don't even want to criticize it because it's just so easy. It's such a layup to take shots. Everyone hates it. It's so bad. I would say from a betting standpoint, it was fascinating. If you were following the market, picks 5, 6, and 7, somebody the last hour before the draft, leading up to the draft, really was convinced that Fears was going 5. He was plus 275 Tuesday night when I was doing the show with Tim Murray. The next day, Wednesday of the draft, half hour before the draft, he's like minus 300 in some spots. That was wrong. Bailey was a pretty heavy favorite to go 6. That was wrong. And also a late moving action was Queens, the big man, to go 7. He was odds on at one point right before the draft out of nowhere. And usually those later moves are the correct ones, figuring, all right, somebody knows something. It's information based. I think of McMillan to the Panthers at 8 or whatever it was in the NFL draft. You figure somebody might know something when the move is that extreme and that late, but not the case. And I'd be curious if these bookmakers, if you had them in an honest moment, would they rethink their unwillingness to book the draft? Because that was a very hard draft to bet. It was chalked through the first four. Then it really went off the rails. 9th and 10th picks out of nowhere. So, I wonder, mostly just the 9th pick. So I wonder if these books, I'm sure they did really, really well. I know a lot of people that bet the draft that didn't do great yesterday, and I think it's getting harder and harder to bet, and these books are, unwilling to bet it because it's challenging. They don't want to hang, a big number and get beat on that. They don't want to get beat on information, but this draft is not that easy to bet. Now, you could say it's not that easy to book. It kind of goes one hand with the other, but I thought from a betting standpoint, it was fascinating. From just a casual sports fan, I don't know, how many of our listeners right now really care whether Ace Bailey goes to Utah or Charlotte or Brooklyn? I don't know about that. A lot of these guys aren't in college that long to get opinions one way or another, and it does get a little boring after the first, 12, 15 picks. But I enjoyed it. It was fun, and there's some teams that I have some thoughts on. So what did you think? What's your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that about the bookmaker aspect of it. It is a challenge to book it. It's obviously a challenge on our side to handicap it and bet it as well. I think most Las Vegas bookmakers just don't want to deal with the hassle. And I understand that because you have to stay on top of these numbers constantly.
Sure.
And DraftKings left these numbers up right basically until, 10 minutes before the draft started last night. Vegas books would have had those numbers down long before that. Before the start of the draft last night. But a lot of times when it's information-based, you know that there are bettors out there that have better information than you in some cases. So that's why a lot of the bookmakers don't want to deal with the draft. And I get it. The NFL draft is what irritates me because that's a big-time event. And the Vegas books need to step it up and book the NFL draft, do a better job with it, and quit playing scared, running scared during the NFL draft. The NBA draft, there's just not that much interest, Will. And I understand if the Vegas bookmakers don't want to deal with it because all the time and effort you're going to put into it, you're not going to make that much money even if you do win because you're not going to get that much action. I asked Johnny Avello of DraftKings last night, you know, compared to the NFL draft, how much action do you take on the NBA draft? Is it 5 to 10%? And he said, yeah, somewhere around that number. So when you think about it, it's minuscule compared to the NFL. Derek Queen, the big man from Maryland you talked about.
Yeah.
I know Tim thought there was a great shot he was going to go 7. Obviously, yeah. Queen went in the teens. I like the fact that the Pelicans picked him up, but, boy, they gave away an unprotected first-round pick next year to move up to get Derek Queen. That's a lot to give up. And the Pelicans have been roasted by a lot of critics for that move. I went 0-2 on the draft, Will. I had Liam McNeely from UConn to go in the top 21. I think he went 28th last night. And I still will contend, when you look back in 3 years, that I was right. He should have been in the top 21, but he didn't go there, so it doesn't matter. Your opinion against how it's drafted, you lose. Sure. And Liam McNeely, I think, is underrated by the NBA scouts, but he'll prove that in time. I will say this, Will, at least half of the guys drafted ahead of McNeely last night will end up being bust or make very little to no impact on the league. And when you go back and look at and look at these drafts, I love to go back and look at NBA drafts, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years down the road. It's amazing how many teams are incompetent when it comes to drafting in the NBA.
We talked about it last week when the finals were on. Just go down the rosters. A lot of these guys picked, you know, middle of the first round, second round, off the scrap heap. Talent evaluation is not something that these teams are great at. It's not an exact science. And I completely agree. I think once we got past 15 or 20 picks, I was kind of doing other things, checking in once in a while, and just scanning things over. That is one name that jumped off the page. I had the same takeaway. I said, wow, McNeely went 29 because he was a freshman, right? He could have came back. I thought he was going to go higher than that. I think he should have gone higher than that. A good pick for the Hornets. They get Knipple, who, you know, everyone just penciled in Harper. All right, he's going to go 2. We know that's going to be the pick. I wouldn't have been killing San Antonio if San Antonio picked Knipple 2. I think he is right. Just a very solid bet to be a very good pro. That was the one pick I gave out. The one bet I gave out with Knipple under 6.5. That got home. I did take a couple chances. I mentioned some guys as sleepers, long shots to be picked in the top 10 overall. Those were some frustrating bets. I don't think I gave out Coward on the air, but I bet it 8-1. It closed even money and he goes 11. So, you know, anytime you hear a handicapper talking about his great CLV, usually it's a way of explaining away a loss, which that was, and it was frustrating. But, yeah, not that much. And here's the other thing with the lack of handle, like you mentioned. There's no runway to it. The football season ends in February. We have all this time combine, nothing going on. We talk about it. We debate it. The NBA season ends Sunday night at midnight, and here we are Wednesday at 8, and we're having a draft. So there's no time to get any buzz or any, you know, excitement or any debate, things like that.
Hey, we'll talk more about the draft here in a few minutes. We got plenty of time tonight, and we got the second round of NBA draft coming up soon. Ryan Kalkbrenner from Creighton was another bet I had to go in the first round. He's still on the board. I think he's going to be off the board early here in the second round. Will Hill, we got together with our producer, Johnny, and we had an extensive debate about what should be our game of the night, and this is what we came up with.
The lights are on, and the stakes are high. It's the primetime game of the night.
All right, well, we had a lot of choices here, but we decided to go with the Braves-Mets. It's going to be Grant Holmes against Griffin Canning, and the Mets have had a miserable couple of weeks. Right now, the Mets, this game starts here in about 2 minutes. Griffin Canning and the Mets, -115 at most spots, -123 at DraftKings, total of 8.5. Did you bet this matchup tonight between Holmes and Canning?
I did. I have a small bet on the Mets. I probably wouldn't have bet it if there were 7 or 8 other games on. I wanted to have a little action, so take that for what it's worth. I like Holmes better than Canning. I just, and this is not a great way to play this, I just think the Mets have played so poorly for 2 weeks. That was a huge win. That's about as big a June win as you could have, the one on Wednesday night. Soto's hitting the ball better. Maybe they're starting to come out of their funk. I think they're due to play some better baseball. You got to know sometimes when to jump in and jump off teams. Maybe this is a time here to jump in back on the Mets, who have played terribly for 2 weeks. Soto, all the talk of, you know, his numbers are down, he's not doing this. You look up, his numbers look like Juan Soto. He's got a bunch of homers, bunch of walks. He is really smoking ball. I think 10 homers in June. So small bet on the Mets here. How about you? You like anything here?
I didn't play it. Griffin Canning in 15 starts of 7-3, but his numbers across the board, not that impressive. 73 2/3 wow. innings, has allowed 8 homers, 8.2 strikeouts per 9, but a whip of 1.41, ERA of about 4. And the Mets have just been playing so poorly recently. Will, they've won, two of the last 12 games, right? Isn't that what the Mets are? 2-10?
Sounds about right. Yeah, it started 12. A couple weeks ago when Senga got hurt, swept by the Rays, swept by the Braves. They lost 5 in a row to the Braves. There was a 2 out of 3 to fill in there. So this team was cruising a couple weeks ago. Looked like they were in good shape to gain some distance on the Phillies in the NL East. Now, the Phillies have had a tough series here in Houston. So I don't know what you think, but I think this race in the NL East probably comes down to the last week, if not the last weekend.
I do, too. It is 2-10, by the way, in the last 12 for the Mets. And they did get a win last night, so it was worse. They beat the Braves 7-3 after losing the first two of this series. Quick break here. Again, we got a lot to go through tonight, including the NBA draft and a day in baseball with 4 shutouts. And we're about 15 minutes away from the Hawaiian Hitman and Wolverine stopping by the studio. So stay tuned here to VSiN Primetime.
VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, Braves and Mets about to get underway at Citi Field. Griffin Canning for the Mets and Holmes for the Braves. That's starting right now. Grant Holmes and the Braves, the underdogs in this game, and the Mets going off at -123. At DraftKings, 113 here at Circa, total of 8.5. That's the only baseball game on the board tonight. Will Hill, in the day in MLB, there were 4 shutouts today. Do you attribute that to great pitching or teams asleep at the wheel? You don't typically see 4 shutouts in a day, but the teams that got shut out today were the Royals, the A's, the Cardinals, and there was one more. What was the other team that got shut out today?
Cleveland? Did you mention Cleveland?
Oh, it was the Guardians. Yeah, Guardians were the other one. And there's a chance that the Mariners will get shut out. They're down 3-0 in the bottom of the 6th. How much action did you have on the day in baseball?
Very little. I thought it was a light card. How about the Marlins sweeping the Giants? That was surprising. So both teams in that Devers deal have gone the wrong way here recently.
Yeah.
I actually noticed this on Sunday. I think I mentioned it on the show with Ben Wilson, the live bet show. Sunday was a getaway day. I noticed teams having a lot of bad at-bats, swinging early, and Ben Wilson said, it's funny you mentioned that because I went to a game recently and noticed the same thing. Getaway day,
yep.
Guys swinging early. Who knows? Sunday morning, they went out Saturday. Again, this is narrative. It's small sample, but it is something that, look, these guys are human. They play 162 games. Maybe the level of focus is not there every single game, and you see that with just lazier at bats. You swing at the first pitch. You're not as patient. And again, maybe we're just reading into things too much, but it is definitely notable to have that many shutouts here in such a small slate.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that because this is something that baseball bettors need to be aware of. And I used to cover MLB, and I covered the AAA team here in Vegas for a while when I first got to town. We covered the White Sox when we worked in Chicago, and getaway day is a real thing. Like the players want to get the game over as quickly as possible. If they're heading out of town on a road trip, you know, on Thursday night, if they got a road trip, they want to get that Thursday game over with as quickly as possible. And you're right. A lot of times you do see guys swinging early, games getting over quickly. And, Will, if you look at today, this is getaway day in MLB. As of right now, only one game on the card. And this one game out of 9 is going over the total. And that's the Marlins-Giants game to finish with the Marlins sweeping the Giants in San Francisco with a 12-5 win today. Aside from that game, Cubs beat the Cardinals 3-0 in St. Louis. Dodgers beat the Rockies 3-1 in Denver. We've got the Twins on top of the Mariners 3-0 bottom of the 6th in Minnesota. Blue Jays beat the Guardians 6-0 in Cleveland. Tigers 8-0 over the A's in Detroit. The total in that game was 8.5, stays under. Rays 4-0 over the Royals in KC. How about that Rays pitching staff? It's been hot lately. But the total in that game was 10. Tampa Bay won 4-0. And Houston 2-1 over the Phillies in a low-scoring series in Houston. And like I said, one game over the total so far. That's something I think is as betters. You have to keep in mind on Thursdays, on getaway days now, when you look at this trend, Will, I'm not going to attribute this to great pitching. I think this has something to do with players wanting to get these games over with early on Thursday and get the hell out of town or just get on with the weekend.
There is a human element to this, to Major League Baseball, and it's not really related to getaway day, but I remember Paul LaDuca, the former Mets catcher, Marlins catcher, telling a story about he's a big horse racing bettor. He's betting the Kentucky Derby. He's watching the Kentucky Derby. Somebody comes in the clubhouse and says, dude, you're up. You got to go to the plate. He wins his race. He wins an exact, I guess he wins six figures. He's just losing his mind. And he goes up to the catcher before the at-bat and says, dude, I just won whatever, $250,000. Groove a fastball down the plate. I'll ground out to short. I just want to go celebrate. So stuff like this happens. They don't take every single at-bat as seriously as you might think. So, you know, it does happen.
Did he ground out to short?
I think he did. Yeah, he said, called just a shot down the middle. I'm just going to ground out to short, and we're good. Yeah, something. I guess they're good enough where if you want to just ground out to short, I guess he could do it.
He called his shot, ground out to short. That's great. Anyway, I want to talk about the Giants, by the way, because I think there are a lot of bettors out there who probably lost money on the Giants the last couple of days. And another thing, when you look at today's card, he did not have aces on the mound today, Will. That's what I said, with these shutouts and low-scoring games, that's why I'm not attributing it to great pitching, because you don't have the aces going here on Thursdays, especially today, and you had all these low-scoring games. The Marlins finish off a sweep of the Giants, and Marlins win this game 12-5. The Giants minus 174 here at Circa. This is the one game today that flies over the total. Very ugly series for the Giants at home. After all the momentum they had after picking up Rafael Devers in a solid series against the Red Sox, this is a mess for the Giants. Last night, they lost in extra innings 8-5. Just a horrible performance by the reliever who came in the 10th inning last night and coughed it up. It just a pathetic pitching performance last night by the reliever who came in. I think it was Doval, came in the 10th inning last night. And that continued, carried over to today. Marlins win 12-5. Marlins have been a feisty team in some of these series. I don't want to give them too much credit, but I think it's more about the Giants playing some bad baseball here in this series. What about you?
Yeah, and even Logan Webb at home, we talk about that one all the time. That's a pretty good pretty good trend to back. He's pretty reliable at home. He wasn't bad on Wednesday night, but he wasn't great either. He got hit around, and he gave up, you know, six or seven hits. He gave up some runs. I think, are the Giants at the point where they just have to face the fact that maybe Rafael Devers being traded to the Yankees is their only way out of this? You trade him to the Yanks and you just get him out of there. Not, look, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there were a little smoke and mirrors before all this. They're a good team. They're not a great team. It's only three games, but you know, I don't know that the Giants, I think they're one of these teams, if they got in Webb, Robbie Ray in a short series, who knows, but you know, they're kind of in the category of the Yankees. Some of these other teams, they're a good team. They're by no means a great team. And one other game you mentioned, I believe the Astros had a three-game sweep of the Phillies in which they scored five total runs.
Yes,
and I know our buddy the Bear,
right,
Chris Felica, has some choice words for the Phillies because he is rooting against Houston. Because I think he has the Diamondbacks to lead June in wins, and it is Houston who's in good shape, which would be the second year in a row they led June in wins. So the Bear is not too happy with the Phillies and their lack of offense.
In fact, Chris Felica on Twitter, just a short while ago, the Astros are now 17-6 in June. Nine of the wins have come either by one run or in extra innings. 8-0 in one-run games, just scored five runs in a series and swept the Phillies. Most wins in June title is going to reside in Houston for the second year in a row. Now, back to the Giants just for
he
a second.
He went with the reverse jinx.
I know.
He's trying to reverse jinx.
He's definitely trying to reverse jinx it. We recognize that right away. But, again, Camilo Duvall was the reliever who came in for the Giants last night in the 10th inning. He got two outs, and the two outs he got were deep flies to the warning track. He gave up four runs, and just got hammered. It was a pathetic inning that he pitched last night. Giants went down 8-5 last night, and they go down 12-5 today. Rafael Devers was 0-4 last night for the Giants. He was batting 194 after last night's game, and Devers off to a bit of a slow start with the Giants, but today he went 3-4 to raise his average since he's been in San Francisco to 270. The problem with San Francisco, Will, I think, is when you look at this, first of all, you're going to have to chase down the Dodgers, and it's not going to happen. I think the Padres might be the only team that can chase down the Dodgers in that division. The more I watch the Giants, they needed Devers desperately. They don't have enough big bats in that lineup. And even with Devers, Will, they're not very good offensively.
Yeah, and when you have a guy like Devers, okay, he's really good, but you can be careful with him if you're an opposing pitching staff, because, all right, you put him on first base, or you walk him, or you try to make pitchers pitches. It's not like you've got a bunch of guys behind him that are going to make you pay. So a really good hitter, when he's alone in a lineup, can be just, you know, he's going to lose his effectiveness if he doesn't have that protection. Devers does not have great protection. It's just, it's not a great lineup. They'll be, I think, in the mix here for a playoff spot, and it'd be dangerous if they get in, but they are certainly, to me, not you know, not one of the elite teams here in the National League.
By the way, the Minnesota Twins are not worried about getaway day. The Twins are bombing the Mariners right now, 10-0 in the top of the seventh. By the way, the rookie sensation for the Twins, did you happen to bet that game yesterday?
What was it, the Twins game yesterday or the Brewers
sorry,
game?
Sorry, talking about the Brewers and Brewers-Pirates game. Mizrowski and Skeens, did you bet that Milwaukee-Pittsburgh game yesterday?
I did. I had a few different bets. Gave out a nice 3-0 on that game, on a numbers game. I think it was under for the game, which was kind of lucky to get home. Plus a half run in the Brewers in the first five, and I played Brewers to not get a hit in the first inning. So a few different props. Man, if you're a hitter in the NL Central, you might need to look at the transfer portal with this kid Burns from the Reds, Paul Skeens, Mizrowski. Three starts, he's allowed three hits. His arms are just so long, it creates that deception. He throws it 102. So a lot of good young arms there in the NL Central.
We're going to talk about Chase Burns and a great bet that Will Hill made on the Cincinnati Reds rookie starting pitcher later in the show. If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. Firstbet.com, that's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Go to firstbet.com today.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
All right, welcome back, VSiN Primetime. Power Slap 13 on tap at the Fountain Blue on a Friday night, and we have a couple of the stars a Power Slap in studio here today. It's great to have you guys in. We got
great to be
the
here.
Hawaiian Hitman and yes, Wolverine. And welcome in studio. This Power Slap is something I know Derek Stevens here at Circa loves. Dana White's behind it. And your brother, the Hawaiian Hitman, the crazy Hawaiian.
The crazy Hawaiian.
You're the Hawaiian Hitman. Your brother was in studio with us a while back. And he's still involved in Power Slap, right?
Yes, he is. He's dropping down in weight class, but he's on another, you know, route, probably running away from me.
Well, you guys look a lot alike, by the way. Dane Viernes, the Hawaiian Hitman, yes. And again, Ron Botta, Wolverine. Ron, great to have you in studio. You're actually headlining this Power Slap 13. Actually, Dane's headlining this on Friday night. And Ron, I think you... Would you call it the co-main or the second favorite? Yes, but you're a big favorite. First of all, I want to talk about the betting. These numbers are up here at Circus Sports, and you can bet a nickel, $500 on these fights today, a dime, $1,000 on these fights on Friday, on fight day. Ron, you are minus 270 here. Wolverine, minus 270 over Russell Rivero. Are you going to slap the crap out of this guy, or what's the deal?
I'm planning on it. I mean, he's a tough guy, so, I mean, we'll – see how it goes.
You think you should be that big of a favorite, minus 270?
It's honestly the first time I've actually even been a favorite here, so it's actually actually pretty nice. I ain't slouching on Russell. He's a good competitor, so I hope to live up to that minus 270.
your right-hander, 15-5, six knockouts, 6'1", 205, and fighting out of Mountain Home, Arkansas, right?
Yes, sir.
How'd you get into Power Slap?
I started with Slap Fight Championship before Power Slap was a thing. And then whenever Dana White started Power Slap, they called over there and they offered me a contract, and I got started.
Entry.
All right, the Hawaiian Hitman, I keep wanting to say the Crazy Hawaiian because I know your brother
right.
But Dane Viernes here, and obviously fighting out of Honolulu, you are 2-2 with two knockouts, also a right-hander. And did your brother get you into this?
Yes. Actually, yeah. My brother did. Before Power Slap, Dana White, we actually had our own thing going on, and we was going around, and I did my first match with Unsanctioned at like a car show and stuff, so. Yeah, it's cool.
365, you got to be super. This is super heavyweight, by the way. Who's the heaviest guy in Power Slap? Is it you or not?
No, we just had one guy. He's coming in at like almost 440. Oh, yeah, man. So I'm like, that's a little bit too big, but I bring him on.
365, you got a lot of Zippy's meals in you, right?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Well, pound for every day of the year.
Do you feast? Do you have breakfast with Zippy's almost every day when you're in Hawaii?
Actually, yeah. It's like a cheap meal over there. Or we ordered a bucket of chili and a bucket of chicken.
All right. So tell us about your fight here. You're headlining it, but you're the underdog here. And you're the underdog against a guy who's got a big reputation
here.
Yeah,
Vasily, he's a legend in Russia as well, same like as my brother, and he has a belt. He's holding a belt, but I'm planning on to send him home empty-handed.
Vasily Kamatsky, called nicknamed Dumpling, he is out of fighting out of Russia, 5'11", 360, and he is 12-1-1, but only one knockout.
Yeah.
How tough is it going to be for you or Dumpling to knock out the other in this fight on Friday night?
It would show our testament to what we really can do and what the sport is all about. But, you know, he's trying to take my head off. I'm trying to take his head off, and I'm do my best to at least fold him or send him or make him a reel, you know, one of those viral reels again.
Right. All right. So for those who aren't that familiar with Power Slap, by the way, the numbers are up and you can bet these fights here at Circus Sports. Where can you watch the fights? You guys, for those who want to watch all these fights Friday night, where can you access it?
It's actually live and free on YouTube. Search up Power Slap and actually just subscribe, and it will tell you when it's live. YouTube mostly.
YouTube TV. Mm-hmm. All right. Will Hill, my co-host here, he's remote in Connecticut tonight. Will, you said you had a question. You wanted to fire at one or both of these fighters.
Yeah, I'm just curious from a mechanics standpoint. I watch what you guys do, and it's almost similar to a pitcher where, you know, you use your legs, you get into a rhythm, there's timing, and then you explode late. What are some, key points in terms of what the proper mechanics are to maximize your arm speed and everything like that?
You guys can't hear the question. Will is asking about the proper mechanics and becoming a successful slap fighter. Can you talk about, you know, just like a pitcher in baseball, what are the proper mechanics? Wolverine, you want to talk about that?
And most of us come from, you know, MMA background, stuff like that. So, I mean, obviously the first thing to do is to lose that pivot. I mean, everybody pivots when they throw that right hook or that overhand right. This sport, you got to keep, you know, both feet planted. So you got to lose the pivot. And then you got to be on point. I mean, same thing in MMA. You got to be on point with your punches. You got to be on point with your slaps. I mean, if you miss a little too high or a little too low, it's a club. I mean, one club could potentially cost you the whole matchup if you ended up going all the rounds to a judge's decision.
Who do you guys practice on? Because it's probably hard to spar somebody. Not too many people are going to want to take those shots to the face. So how do you practice? Do you have a dummy?
Yeah. Actually, it's called Bob. It's just the upper half and the – the bottom is a base. You can fill it with water or sand or whatever. It's heavy, but I practice on that. And there's a pad. You know those when boxers hit, you know, do the combos with their other coach.
Right.
We use those slapping thing as a slapping instead of when they use it for punches.
I got you. Will, that's are you interested in being a slap fighter? Is that why you asked that question about the technique?
Yeah, technique is key.
Will,
your whole body, a lot of rhythm, a lot of timing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious what their match day routine is. How do they get into the right mindset?
Okay.
What do they eat? How do they prepare?
That's a great question. So on the day of the fight, Wolverine, we'll start with you. On the day of the fight, what's your routine? What do you eat? How do you prepare for your fight on Friday night?
Honestly, I just I wake up. Usually my wife's here with me and my family. I just try to spend the day, just keep the match off my mind. I mean, when I get to the stage, that's when I'm ready to go. But as far as eating, I'm eating everything, just trying to put on as much weight as I can. So I don't really have a set schedule or anything like that. I just relax and wait for the moment to come.
It's Ron Botta, Wolverine, fighting out of Mountain Home, Arkansas. And he is a big favorite in his fight on Friday night, minus 270 here at Circa. Let's go back to I tell you, I keep wanting to say the crazy Hawaiian, the Hawaiian Hitman. So you're fighting out of
Hitman.
What's
Hitman.
That? The Hawaiian Hitman, Dane Viernes, and
yes.
You're an underdog. So talk about your fight routine on Friday, and also want to ask you about your mentality when you're coming into a fight like this, when you are a dog to a guy, I want to call him a Russian legend.
Yes.
Power slap.
Yes, he's a, in Russian they call him mammit. There's no word for legend, so he's a mammit. But I told him, you know mammit, I'm mammit.
Is he like the Ivan Drago of power slap? You remember Drago in the Rocky
Yeah.
Fight?
Is
that what this guy is?
Yes, yes. Yeah. But he's actually real good, no fouls, no offense foul, defensive fouls. He's really good. But, you know, none of that matters when you're going against me. I'm just dropping you from now on. And I'm doing it naturally without no enhancements. So, but my routine, too, when I'm a fight day is I'm just kind of winding down. I read a word. I get into the word. That mindset is just changing me from the inside out. And I already know it's game time. But I really eat much. But I keep myself hydrated with, you know, I would do like pickle juice or something just to hydrate, and then a lot of stretching.
Quick question for you. I'm going to start with Wolverine. Does it help to have a big bushy beard to absorb the hit you're going to take to the face? Is that why you have the big red beard?
No, I've been asked that a lot. I've shaved it off previously in a couple matches before, but I don't think it does. I mean, if you got somebody, you know, that's my size, 205 pounds, putting all their weight into a hit, a little bit of hair ain't going to stop you.
All right, so you're minus 270. Give us a fight prediction, Wolverine, for Friday night.
I give Russell a couple rounds. He ain't going down in one, so I'd say probably round three.
All right, there you go. And the Hawaiian Hitman, you're the underdog, big dog tomorrow night against the Russian legend. How's your fight going to end?
Man, my fight's going to end with me standing victorious, probably first, second round. Don't matter, but I'm trying to take his skull, collect him skull. Maybe hit him with the right and the left.
Plus 250. If you think the Hawaiian Hitman is a live dog on Friday night, you can bet the fights here at Circus Sports. Watch him on YouTube. Power Slap 13 of Fountain Blue. Wolverine and the Hawaiian Hitman, thanks for stopping in the studio. Appreciate the time.
Thank you, bud.
Thank you.
Back with more here on VSIN Primetime, the Sports Betting Network. It's actually pretty cool to have the Hawaiian Hitman and Wolverine in studio, Power Slap 13 on Friday night. And the professor, Aaron Moore, says he could take those two down. Will Hill, my co-host here. Will, I was talking with Wolverine before the segment. He's been involved in 30 MMA fights before he jumped into Power Slap. That's probably not a guy you want to take on in a street fight, right?
I noticed you were very polite to him.
I was. He had the big red beard, too, just like you, but his was a little bit bushier. I think that's got to be kind of a shock absorber when you take that big slap to the face, you would think, even though he said it doesn't help that much. All right, let's go out to the progressive guest line right now and welcome in the professor. A little known fact, back in the day, Aaron Moore was involved in some slap fights, right, Aaron?
Yeah, the hard streets of Binghamton, New York, there's a lot of slapping going on, and I found a way to make it out of those slapping streets.
Did you, we were talking about, I don't know if you followed the interview in the previous segment, but Power Slap 13 and Fountain Blue on Friday night. Here at Circa, you can bet $500 today on the fights. You can bet a dime. You can bet $1,000 on Friday on the fights. Aaron, are you surprised by those betting limits on Power Slap?
I am surprised by those numbers, Matt, and I think it is kind of interesting as we look at just the general sports landscape of today. There are so many different sports and options we as fans can look at, and now Slap is one of them. But if you incentivize people to watch and bet on something, there's a correlation there. So I think it's an interesting way of how can a sport grow? Well, if you give people the opportunity to bet on it and bet a somewhat significant amount of money, it's just going to generate interest. So from a sports and marketing standpoint, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, Derek Stevens here at Circa behind it. Dana White, obviously, spearheading the Power Slap. And this is Power Slap 13 in Fountain Blue. You can watch it on YouTube TV. And also, if you're here at Circa Friday night, I'm sure it's going to be on here in the sports book and maybe at Stadium Swim as well. If you're betting on sports, why not try the races? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days up to $200. Go to firstbet.com today. Aaron Moore, VSIN contributor, sports media professor, is with us now. You can follow him at Pub Relation Prof on X. And let's jump into the NBA draft. Round two about to tip off here within 15 minutes. Aaron, some of the takeaways from round one for you, some of the things that really jumped off the page.
The main thing, Matt, is I think we look at it, Will, yourself, me, we're college basketball handicappers. Mm-hmm. We're always interested in looking at what's going to happen on the court in a college basketball game so we can handicap it. Well, it's a hell of a lot different from an NBA draft standpoint. Just think about a couple guys like Carter Bryant in particular. We really didn't talk about him that much with Arizona in betting and making a significant impact on the line. However, he has the projectable skills that NBA executives are looking for. So it doesn't necessarily matter what you do on the court to be a first-round pick. You can be a first-round pick. Now, us as handicappers, we're looking at guys making immediate impact on the court, scoring, defense, and it's a lot different. So I think it's interesting that we can bet the NBA draft, and we were talking about earlier, we'd like to bet more on it, but you have to look at the NBA draft as a lot different of college basketball. And I think that's the interesting part now with round two starting, where you have guys like Rashear Fleming, Maxime Reyneau, Ryan Kalkbrenner, these guys that we talked about a lot during the college basketball season because they made a significant impact for their teams. Well, they're still there. So it's interesting. Round two is more of these guys that we said, wow, they're really good college basketball players. They're going to help their teams win. They're here in round two. Round one, it's all about skills and wingspan, and your stats really don't matter.
Aaron, I think everyone agrees Cooper Flagg is going to be a good player. I don't think anyone say, oh, he's going to be a bust. He won't, you know, he's not going to live up to the hype. That being said, top 10 player, top 5 player, will Cooper Flagg win an MVP? Just how good do you think Cooper Flagg will be in the NBA?
I don't think a MVP is out of the question because obviously you're taking him with the number one pick. You're not just expecting him to be an all-star someday. You're expecting to have MVP type impact. And I do like Cooper Flagg's ability to play in the NBA because he can score, he can rebound, he can play in a team setting. That it's not just an athlete, he's just not an athletic superstar. He's a fantastic basketball player. And I do think those skills will move very well into the NBA. Obviously, with Dallas, he's going to need some talent around him. But from day one, he's going to contribute. And I think if we look at it, Will, from a betting standpoint, I just saw it. It was on FanDuel. I think it's a pretty interesting wager to look at. I'll probably make it. There's really no reason to make it now. But you can get Cooper Flagg minus 120 to have at least one triple-double this season. I think that's an interesting way of what Flagg can do for Dallas. He's going to get a lot of playing time. They have a pretty decent offense when everybody's healthy. So a triple-double certainly seems very gettable for him in year one.
which pick was announced last night that made you grimace and say, "Uh-oh, that team made a mistake"? What are the busts? Who do you think, you know, was overdrafted here Thursday on Wednesday, the first night?
Yeah, I think the interesting part of looking at it, and obviously I'm not cracking a new egg, is Ace Bailey. It just is very surprising if you take a player who says he wants to play in a very limited situation. Now, we saw it with the Chargers years ago when they took Eli Manning and then traded him. It just seems interesting for Utah. As good as Ace Bailey is, let's look at what he's been able to do. He didn't win in his 1 year at Rutgers. He doesn't necessarily want to be there in Utah. And when you take a guy with a top five pick, kind of like what I was saying with Cooper Flagg, you're not just hoping he's a good player. You're hoping he immediately makes an impact and turns your team around, makes Utah a playoff team. So it's interesting. I think from day one, you're bringing in a talented player, yet there are concerns about his work ethic, and you're bringing in a talented player with concerns about his work ethic, and does he really want to be in Salt Lake City? That really surprised me, because there are other very good athletes out there. Just look at maybe Trey Johnson. Maybe he wanted to play in Salt Lake City, and that could have been a better pick.
Aaron Moore with us at Pub Relation Prof. All right, let's talk about the round two of the draft here. You've got one bet pending, and you've got a bet you've made here tonight on round two. I had Ryan Kalkbrenner as a first-round pick. He did not go late in the first round last night. I think he's going to go early here in the second. How do you think the first few picks of the second round will play out, Aaron? And you found somewhere to make a bet on the second round tonight.
Yeah, Matt, it was interesting. I've been looking all day for round two wagers. I didn't see anything, and I literally just saw it pop up on FanDuel, and I took it. It's a minus number, but it takes with a handicap that I'm looking at. So the first pick of the draft in round two is 31, Minnesota. Expect that to be Rashear Fleming from St. Joe's, a 3-and-D guy, really can help a playoff team immediately. And then number 32, this is the interesting one, that there's two players, as you said, Kalkbrenner and Maxime Renault, the big guy from Stanford. Those two really looked like first-round players because they're big guys. They can stretch the court. Both of them can make a three-pointer. The fact that they're still available, you got to think somebody's going to take them very quick. Mm-hmm. So what I was able to get on FanDuel is the 32nd pick I laid minus 140 is Maxime Renault. And if Boston is working things out, they no longer have Kristaps Porzingis, he could step in there and literally play that Porzingis position. So I don't like the minus 140. I don't want to feel forced to make a wager because it's the only one available, but it fits in with a handicap. I'm surprised Renault did not go in the first round. He really is that prototypical stretch big guy you see so much in the NBA and excel in the NBA. And I think Boston could use him and start building around him. So I took him with the 32nd pick.
I was surprised as well. Maxime Renault didn't go. Ryan Kalkbrenner didn't go. But the how about the Clippers last night? With the last pick of the first round, take Jannik Konan Niederhauser from Penn State, the seven-footer who the prior season averaged 7 points at Northern Illinois. But he was the final pick by the Clippers last night. One more bet pending for you, Aaron Moore, and that's on Johnny Broome, the Auburn star. We're talking about a guy who is in the running to be player of the year, and he's not going to be drafted here early in the second round.
Not surprising, because Matt, once again, great college basketball player, double-double every night for Auburn. We thought Wooden Award with him and Flagg the entire season. But he's a little bit older. He's slower. He just doesn't have that NBA profile. So as good as he is in college, it doesn't necessarily translate to the NBA. Now, somebody's going to get him. I hope it's somebody after the 42nd pick who gets him. And they're going to get a veteran. They're going to get a guy probably would be really good to have on the end of your bench. Maybe comes in, plays about 8-10 minutes, gets up a three-pointer or two. But if you're a great player in college basketball and your stats are great, that certainly doesn't mean you're going to be an NBA first-round pick.
Tell that to Eric Dixon of Villanova, who was the nation's leading scorer and is probably going to hear his name called late in the second round tonight. Aaron Moore on the NBA draft. And more quick break here on VSIN Primetime.